Hey, this is Tim from Cullamunda Church of Christ, and today I hope that this podcast blesses you. If you are wanting to know anything more about our beautiful church, why don't you hop online and head to our website at cullamunda.church.
While you're remaining standing, I'm just going to read the scripture on the screen. I'm going to read, it's the Palm Sunday scripture, a couple of them. It says this in Psalms 118 verse 22. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone," prophesying about Jesus, the one that would be rejected, would become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then this is what I used to sing when I grew up in church, this next line. We had a song. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Remember that song? This is the day. Well, this is the day, referring to that there is not just another day that God's created, but there is a day coming, the day of salvation, the day that Jesus would go into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to begin the new day that you can have in your life today. It says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then it's a prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Lord, bless your word to all our hearts this morning. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you grab a seat? Who wants to grab that? Thanks, guy. My name's Brad. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's great to be in church at Cullamunda and all that God is doing. We're going to celebrate a few things this morning, and I'm going to share a few thoughts around Palm Sunday. 1 week left of school, and we're back into school holidays, all that sort of stuff. You know, God is really faithful. He's really faithful, isn't he? And just those Old Testament scriptures and prophecies about what Jesus was going to do and how he was going to come and how he fulfilled prophecy, for no other reason to know that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is God. It is how the prophecies are fulfilled. You can trust the word of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't really know much about the Bible. I would encourage you that if you hang around us at Cullamunda, we believe the Bible is the word of God and it really has the power to change our lives. And we're all on a journey, and that may be your journey. We'd love to see you get on a journey into the Word of God. In fact, I've been planning some sermon series in the next few months, and we're going to be going deep into some expository preachings in books of the Bible and going through some books of the Bible, because we really want to see our flock fed well, amen? And not just getting a big feed on a Sunday, but being self-feeders every day in the Word of God. So anyway, we've got some exciting news in a moment, but before that, if you would have received an email, if you're part of our church here, just informing you this week that it was with a heavy heart that we've had some resignations in eldership and staff. Joe Medling, and our children's pastor, has resigned her role, effective now, and also Dave Medling resigned from eldership. So it's with a real heavy heart that I share that news with you, and members should have received an email about that. But just want to inform you and to ask you to please keep them in your prayers. We really want the best, God's best in their life. And we're really sad for that. But also, we just want to keep them in our prayers. Is that cool? Yeah. It's just a bit of family time. If you're here for the first time, you're like, what's that all about? Don't worry, all good. Now I want to get a couple of people up. Maya and Quentin, we're going to pray for them because they're getting baptized next week. Can you give me the other mic? The other mic? Yeah, can you grab me the other mic? Thanks. They're going to be brave enough, thank you, Tom, to come up on stage. I'm just going to turn this on. Who loves hearing people's stories? Good, I'm going to sit down now and just leave you to it, all right? No. Not really. I'll give you, start with Quinn. No pressure. I did say we're not going to have to say everything, but I just wanted to let the church see a couple of our young adults coming to faith, coming to a recommitment, and now made the decision to get baptized. And I just said, can you tell us a bit about how you come to the decision, Quentin, that you're going to be baptized?
So, pretty much since Maya sort of mentioned it, I've been getting a lot of words, a lot of experiences of like people getting baptized, scripture, and all that. And I kind of thought, like, no, let's do it, let's go ahead. And yeah, and so I kind of thought recommit and give my love back to Christ, and And yeah, and...
You've been on a real journey, hey?
Oh, yeah.
And crazy. And one of the things that Quentin shared with me was in coming back to the Lord, he actually has been baptized in the past before. And he was asking me about this being rebaptized, and I was able to share with him how it's not something you have to do, but it's something he really wants to do. And you were sharing that it's a real new season in your life.
Yeah, definitely. Because I got baptized when I was like 21. Then I've actually left the Lord, gone back into the world.
Yep.
And done stupid stuff.
Yep.
And now I'm kind of like came back. I met Nathan.
Yep.
Him and I kind of gone on a crazy journey. And yeah, ever since then, I just want to give my love to the Lord. And yeah, and now I'm here again and want to.
Awesome, man. So good, so good. Now, I love your heart, and Quentin's come up to me and just said, Brad, anything I can serve at church, I just want to serve, just want to help. And so he's here Friday nights, so praise God. Maya, what about yourself? Tell us how you've come to this point to be make a decision to say, I want to get baptized.
Well, I just reflect back on my testimony, and I used to think, like, I had to get fixed before I even looked at it. Like, I was just like, no way, I'm everything that's wrong, you know?
Yep.
And I look back at my testimony and I think how much love God had for me. Like I was anything but for him. Like, I was, and he answered my prayer in probably the darkest moment. And I just went, wow, this God really loves me. And I was just like, and now I think about it. And that's why I decided to go to church. I'm like, oh, I'll get to know him, you know?
Yep.
And... as I got to know him more, I realised that it wasn't about me being perfect or right or anything. It was about him and how he will fix absolutely everything I'm dealing with. And that a baptism to me is just showing that it's not about me and it's about him fixing me and being with me and walking with him. And, yeah, so that's basically
that's awesome. That's awesome. You sure? Kate, I'm going to ask Kate Hendry if you can come up. Kate is part of overseeing our young adults. I'm going to ask Kate to pray a blessing prayer over you guys. And I just love what Maya said then. Often we do go on a journey thinking we've got to get ourselves together. Once I'm all good, then I can get baptized. Once I've got all my boxes in a row. But no, we come to God and he meets us in our mess. Amen. And so it's all about how good he is. Would you pray a blessing, Kate?
Sure. God, we thank you for Quentin and Maya and their faithful decision to be baptized. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your goodness and blessings upon their lives and into their lives, God. We pray for that you would work deeply within their minds and their souls, that you would renew and refresh them daily. And we thank you that you've already prepared the path before them, and we just ask your guidance in their steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, you could give that. Down to just make sure to thank you guys. Yeah, thank you so much. So next week, amen, praise Lord, next week after the service I'm going to grab a quick coffee and then we're going to head down. And how special to get baptized on Resurrection Sunday when Jesus come out of the tomb. So really excited about that. And hey, if you're here and you're interested in baptism, finding out more, please come and talk to myself, talk to Pastor Tim. We'd love to talk about what baptism's all about and go through. I'd love to preach a whole sermon on it, but we're going to do Palm Sunday this morning. All right, let's get into it. What is Palm Sunday? It is the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on that donkey. It's known as the triumphal entry. We're going to go to John chapter 12 if you've got your Bibles. And it's that day where, as he's coming in, it's really an important day because, and this is Palm Sunday, because it's the last week of Jesus' earthly life, his ministry. And did you know how many chapters in the four Gospels talk about his last week? Me either, but lots of chapters talk about, and so much of the Gospels are devoted to his last week, like heaps of it, a lot, and it's because it is the Passion Week. It is the week where he's leading to Easter, to his death and resurrection, and so much happens in that amount of time, but it all begins with this prophetic moment, and I say it's not just a normal donkey ride. As he's writing, this is a prophetic moment. He's coming in and something's going to shift in the atmosphere because Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Lots of people come to believe in Jesus because of Lazarus's testimony. He had a great testimony. And lots of crowds are starting to follow Jesus. And so he's got this swell of lots of people. And then they're heading into the Jewish festivals. They're coming into Passover. So Jerusalem is packed. Catch the scene. It is packed with people. And then this is when Jesus is going to make his entrance. And this is what it says in John 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches, that's what we're going to look at today, palm branches, and went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna. The word Hosanna, what they were really shouting wasn't like we were shouting today where we're like, Hosanna, we love you, God. They're shouting what that word actually means, save us. Save us now, they're shouting. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Now, this is so important. As Jesus is coming in, he's allowing himself to be identified as the King in David's lineage, the King of Israel, the Son of God, the one prophesied about, the Messiah. Up until this point, he was not happy for people to know who he was. He had opportunity for that. He would often heal people, do something, do a miracle and say, now, don't tell anybody, because my time has not yet come. But the time had now come, the first time in this prophetic moment where he has been received as a king. And that's really important, received as a king. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this. And I don't blame them. What's a king doing on a donkey? They didn't understand it all. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him. Oh, that surprised me. I thought they read their Bibles with Jesus for 3 years, and it's not till after they go back and, oh, it's written about him. And these things had been done to him. So this is the scene. He's coming in. He's allowing himself to be recognized as the prophet, the Messiah. And that's when stuff's going to start getting real, because the Pharisees and the scribes, they're not happy. The religious people are not happy that this is blasphemy. He's allowing himself to be the king. But Jesus is so humble. He's so humble. And even in his, see, humbleness is not saying, oh no, I'm not that, I'm not that. He knew who he was. He knew that he was now coming into Jerusalem. The Bible says he set his face as flint. In other words, he was determined. This is where the rubber is really going to hit the road in what I was come to earth to do. And they're shouting out, save us, because imagine him coming in, and as he's coming on this donkey, and because they now see him as the King of Israel, they can shout out, Hosanna, because they're like, yes, he is going to come and overthrow Rome, and he's going to set us free from our oppression. That's what they're shouting about. Yes, you're the one. Now save us now. Save us now. And I sort of feel like the disciples would have been like, yeah, finally, he's doing something we want him to do. Finally, he's going to come and do what, like I preached about with Judas, finally, he's going to bring the revolution. And even though they might have been like, but he's on a donkey, he's not really on a war horse. Not on a horse, but that would have been, it doesn't matter. He's still heading in the right direction, and we're going, and we're going to see him now really take it to the Romans, and he's going to do this big military and political overtake, and that's what they're thinking. Yes, yeah, save us. That's why you can get a whole crowd cheering for Jesus when they think he's doing what you want him to do, but get very quiet when he starts moving in a different way than you expected. And from Sunday to Friday, you can go from hero to zero in some people's eyes. But Jesus was not moved by man. He was moved by his Father's will and what God would have him do. And he's riding in, and they're saying, save us, just as you brought us out of Egypt into the promised land, now bring us out of the Roman oppression. And he rides this donkey. And there's so many things we could preach on. I could preach on the donkey this morning and of how Jesus found an instrument to use that was tied up, and he untied it and set it free and brought his presence in. And I was thinking about the donkey. We could talk about the crowd and how the crowd are so go from Hosanna on Sunday to crucify him on Friday. We could preach about that. But we could talk about palm branches, which is what I want to talk about, because I just want to come from this angle today, is that as he's coming in and palm branches are being taken from palm trees and brought out and massive long branches and waving them, was what they would do when a king was coming in victory. It was a royal thing for victorious kings. And Jesus is coming. See, when a king would ride into a city and he was on a war horse, he was coming for war. When he would come in and he would sit on a donkey, it meant he was coming in peace. A donkey is symbolizes humility, gentleness, and peace. That I am the kind of king, he said, that I'm coming in peace. Why? I believe why? Because Jesus knew, and we need to know, that victory is already won. And you can ride in peace. It's like, you know what? I don't need to bring the war horse right now because I know what I'm going to do is going to bring about victory. It's not going to be easy, as you're going to see in a minute, but I'm coming in peace. You can have peace with God and the peace of God because Jesus is about to do something to give us that. And so he's riding in and these palm branches are there. And I just love this because I want to encourage us this morning when we think of Palm Sunday, think of some of the palm promises that I want to give us. That's what we're talking about, palm promises. That we're going to embrace. So it got me thinking about Psalms 92 verse 12. I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm going to give you some Palm Sunday promises, just two or three. Here we go. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Palms in the Bible are interesting. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. That's good, isn't it? They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. I love this scripture, but I love how the righteous will flourish. And that is our vision here at Kalamunda, that people will flourish like a palm tree. And when I thought about that, how does a palm tree flourish? And I don't have these points written down on the screen, so I'm just giving them to you. Number one, a palm tree can flourish in hard times as much as good times because a palm tree knows what it's like. Point one, knows how to bend without breaking. See, palm trees don't fear storms and winds, even though they feel storms and winds. What do? They don't fear, they bend with it. Have you ever seen a palm tree in the midst of a great storm, and there's photos of them, where it's literally bending all the way down as the wind is blowing violently and violently. It's nearly touching the ground, but it doesn't freak out. It stays in that position. In fact, during that time, its roots get stronger. It's in the adversity that it gets stronger as it's bending down, and it just knows it's okay. This may be hard right now. I may be going through a hard time, but I'm just bending in the moment. But once this wind stops, I'm going to bounce back up. And a palm tree knows what it is. It's interesting that they get stronger in the hard times. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and I believe that he sees hope in everyone's eyes. It's like these people yelling out Hosanna, and he sees this hope for victory, but he also knew that these people were going to miss it. He talked about how Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they were going to miss their time of visitation. They weren't going to get it. But Jesus was thinking long term. He was going to do something that wouldn't just give them victory over Rome, but like a palm tree, he was going to give them victory over all the forces of darkness if they would trust in him. See, Jesus, the righteous one, knew what it was to be blown down by the storms of sin. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? And he is feeling the wind like a palm tree blowing on him so hard in the pressure that he sweats drops of blood. And scientifically, that can happen under extreme, extreme pressure where he sweated blood. So he's feeling the pressure and he's feeling the wind blowing. And he gets, and like a palm tree bends, he's feeling the bending over and being pushed over because he knew that he would become sin for you and me. He who knew no sin would become our sin. He knew that the pressure would turn, even get to a point where the Father would turn his face away from him on the cross, where Jesus would actually cry out in the pressure. He would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how hard and tough the things were getting for him. And he knew that this is the pressure he would be under, that he would cry out, my God, so that one day you and me could cry out, my Father. And he would get under that pressure, and the wind of sin and death blew as hard as it could. Jesus had taken the ultimate hit and was down as low as he could go into the tomb of death. But just like a palm tree bending, 3 days later, he got up and he rose from the dead and he came out victorious so that you and I can have the same spirit that under pressure we may bend, but we bounce back, baby. Hey, come on. We bounce back because we've got resurrection bounce back spirit power on the inside of us. I want to encourage you this morning. Palm Sunday was a vision of things are not going to get things are going to get worse before they get better. But Jesus said, that's okay. Sometimes things are going to be worse before they get better, but if you can trust in Him, if you can be like that palm tree and just say, yeah, this is hard right now, but this hardness, this adversity will just cause the roots to get stronger. No matter what we go through in life, we can have that bounce back power. Another thing about palm trees is, number two, they thrive in heat. Palm trees like to grow in the tropical heat, tropical environments. And I want to encourage us, sometimes it's when the heat gets turned up where we can really see God move in our lives, yeah? And I think Jesus going into Jerusalem, it was like, man, the temperature is about to go right up. But He's the righteous one. And you and I are righteous because of Him. And as He's going in and going, you know, it's going to get hot. But this heat, you know, a diamond is only formed under extreme heat and pressure. And Jesus was looking at the diamond to come through from the cross and the resurrection. The Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured. That's why we need to be able to endure through hardship, because of the joy set before us, that we know God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, those that are called according to His purpose. Just like Joseph in the Old Testament, he went through the heat, man. He went through so much heat. And I just was thinking about that story this week and just felt to share it, that Joseph, he was rejected by his brothers, by the people closest to him. There was a rejection and it put him in a pit. And he was in this pit of rejection where they thought he would die. But Joseph, in that heat, in that pressure, didn't take his eyes off of God. And he gets moved along and things go from bad to worse. He's in Potiphar's house and he's misunderstood and lied about. Have you ever been lied about? It's like, this just doesn't make sense. He's being lied about and he's been attacked at his character and his morals, and he's said that you're trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and so he has to run. He leaves with not all of his coat, but he's got all of his character. And he runs and he's there. So things are getting worse and he winds up in prison. He's gone from the pit to Potiphar's. Then now he's in prison. And he has some promises that get forgotten. I don't know if you ever felt like, God, where are you in this? Where are you in this? I feel like I'm imprisoned, and where are you? Promise some things, but I'm not seeing them. I feel like you've forgotten me. And he's there and he's in the prison, and then eventually, all through this desert heat, as he trusts God, I believe his roots got deeper. And when he made it to the palace, the next place, and he looked back at all the things that had happened, and he looked back at the people that had hurt him from the very start, and he made a remarkable statement in Genesis chapter 50, verse 30, and he said this, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as in this day, to save many people." I like that, to save many people's lives. That he actually had a plan for others. And I want to encourage you, as being part of a church family, sometimes when we go through hard times and adversity, God's got a plan for the saving of many people. We need to keep trusting Him, keep the main thing, and keep our eyes on Jesus and see what He wants to bring about through our heat. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace? The Bible says that they got put in extreme heat for worshiping God, and it got turned up 7 times hotter, so hot that the people that threw him in, the guards, they died. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace, and it's in this fiery furnace where King Nebuchadnezzar finds them and does a head count because they're not burning, and he sees 4 people in the heat. And he says, the fourth person, who's that fourth one? I count 4, it looks like the Son of God. And Jesus met them in the fire. And I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus is not afraid of fires. Jesus is not afraid when the heat gets turned up in our lives. Jesus is not afraid of the hard times. Jesus wants to meet us in them. In fact, when they got out of the fire, the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not smell like smoke. In other words, what they went through didn't leave a bitterness on their life. What they went through didn't leave marks on their life, but maybe some scars, but they didn't smell like what they had been through. And that's what the sort of work that God wants to do in our life, that when we go through hard times, when Jesus went through the cross, went through to the resurrection, He didn't get out of the grave and go, well, stuff you guys, that was not very nice. He didn't get out and go, what do you do that for? He had a sweet spirit and said, yeah, come on, this is for the saving of many people. There's a purpose in the pain. And God wants us to see that in every bit of pain. And lastly, I finish with this one, if the team wants to come back up, is palm trees, when they get together, can create an oasis. An oasis. There's actually a church called Oasis, and I reckon that's where they got that from. They can create this beautiful place. And Jesus knew that Palm Sunday, whilst a huge crowd was with him, they would be scattered by the end of the week. Hosannas would turn to crucify him. But he had a vision of a church, I believe. He had a vision of people. He had a vision of them coming back together, and would see that happen on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. He had a vision of long-term past the pain of what God was going to do. He was going to do God through what Jesus did. And he could see this oasis. And it says this in Revelation 7:9, my last scripture on the screen. It says, after this is what John, the writer of Revelation, saw when he has this vision. He says, and I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, looking into heaven, standing before the throne of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, catch this, and were holding palm branches in their hands. They were holding palm branches in their hands. It all fell apart in the garden. Jesus got on his knees in the garden. We're all going to end up in the garden with palm branches waving victory, because he has the victory and he wants us to share in that victory. He wants you to know that Palm Sunday is a vision towards victory that does require walking through pain, that does require sometimes being the kind of Christian that is righteous like a palm tree. You may bend, but you're not going to break. I want to speak that over your life this morning. You're not going to break in Jesus' name. Let that be your confession. We're going to bend, but we're not going to break, because we have the resurrection power of God. I don't care how dark it gets. It can get really dark, but God has a plan to lift you up. That I'm going to not smell like what I go through. The heat will refine me. That fire that we sing about that would fall down, that fire of the Holy Spirit would do a work in me of purifying me. And that I want to be in an oasis. I want to be in the church of the living God. I want to be a part of what Jesus went through to Jerusalem for, why he was set his face like flint. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he sees you. The joy set before him, a long way off, over 2,000 years, he sees you and your situation in your life right now. I find that magnificently beautiful. Have you ever seen a giraffe get born? It's really interesting that when a giraffe gets born, because giraffes have long legs, and they fall out of their mum's tummy, if you want to look at it, and they get on the ground, and they actually are just a bit of a squabbling mess, and the mother has an instinct that the first thing that the mother does is goes up to this little baby and kicks it. I've seen 3 kids get born, and this didn't happen in any birthing suite. But this giraffe mum kicks it. And then what it does is the little fella, he gets to his legs and he just gets up. And just as he's standing there, the mum kicks it again. And the mum instantly then does it again and does it again and does it again. And the mum is going, I'm going to put you through some temporary pain so you can permanently outrun the wolves, outrun the things that would chase you down, they're going to outrun. But you've got to go through this pain. Now, God doesn't kick us, but he allows trials and things in our life. Things do happen. Life is life. And he allows things, and it's our choice whether we're going to go, you know what, there may be some temporary pain to go through, but it's for permanent blessing. It's that I'm going to get stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. And when we face our adversities like Jesus faces the entry into Jerusalem, I believe we can have a victorious spirit. Victorious spirit. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to pray a blessing over us today as we close off. If you're comfortable, just to close your eyes. And Father, whilst the sermon might be finished, I thank you that your work in our life is not. So now, Holy Spirit, I pray you would continue to minister to us. Show us what you want us to see in our own lives. Just as we're in this moment, I just feel to allow you to have a moment now with the Holy Spirit. Just may want to drop something into your heart. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Maybe bring a confirmation. A word, the word hope keeps coming to my heart. The hope before us. Father, we thank you that with you, with every breath, we can be full of brand new hope. Just pray over every person here, Father. Just pray over every person, Lord, that they would know going into this Easter. And as we experience baptisms and people giving their hearts to you in fresh ways, Lord, that we would know the hope you have for every person here is for good. And even in the pain, God meets you there. So Father, I just speak over everyone your blessing this Easter. This would be an Easter, not one where we go through the motions that we've done every year, but Father, where your resurrection power, where your resurrection bounce back spirit would be the reality of our redemption, of what we walk out. And you would do that in our hearts and lives. And I pray for any person here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, that maybe doesn't have a relationship with you, that today they would reach out to someone they know, myself, and say after this service, after we close off, they'd say, hey, I want to know Jesus. Can you tell me what that means? And it would be that church, Father, that welcome people into your family, into the oasis of your body. In Jesus' name, amen.